here we are with the Gitcoin crowd. Meg Lister, GM at Grant Labs at Gitcoin, and Kevin Iwaki, the founder of Gitcoin. Thank you guys so much for joining me at the Defiant podcast. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having us.
Glad to be here.
Really glad to have you discuss the latest in Gitcoin. I know you guys have recently made a big announcement around Gitcoin 2.0. And of course, like, I've been around since the very, beginning of Gitcoin, was one of the first users of it. And when the Defiant was a newsletter just run only by myself. So I used it, I probably participated in the first round of grants or the second, but very early on. So I've been a very happy user of your platform, been happy to contribute to grants. So for me, Gitcoin has always been a very key and integral part of Web3. So I'm really interested to learn how it's evolving. But before we get there, I'd just love to kind of get both of your backgrounds. Kevin, I know you've been on the podcast before, but still, in case people don't want to go back and re-listen to that episode, if you can, really go over your background and what got you into crypto, and then what led both of you to Gitcoin.
I'm Kevin Iwaki. I'm the founder of Gitcoin. I am a software engineer by training, and originally started Gitcoin because I wanted to see open source software funded. Open source software provides billions of dollars of economic value to the world, and it's very hard to monetize. And that led to the inception of Gitcoin 1.0, of which Gitcoin Grants was the primary product that we built. You can think of Gitcoin Grants as sort of like a crowdfunding application. And, in 2018, when Vitalik Buterin and Glenn Weil and Zoe Hitzig wrote the quadratic funding paper, we built Gitcoin Grants into being a quadratic funding site. So basically, the mechanism there is that there's a matching pool that's raised, and the projects that are raising money on Gitcoin Grants will receive money both from the matching pool and from contributors that are contributing to each grant. And yeah, I was just like really very happy to be an open source software developer myself and be funding open source software. It's a dream come true. My background is Web2 entrepreneurship and software engineering. So early Gitcoin combined those things. And I'll pass it off to Meg so that she can tell us about her background.
Yeah, thanks so much. Joaquin always says that he was a software engineer by training. I was a philosophy major in college, so I guess the only thing I am by training is a pain in the butt. but I built my career in marketing and product in Web2 and spent a number of years there. I really grew my career at an ad tech startup where I moved into product management and GM and leadership roles. But I kind of got to the end of that experience feeling really dissatisfied with what I had built and the way that ad tech was treating its users and treating the data and privacy concerns around the industry. And so I started looking for something new, and a friend was like, hey, if you really want to try something new, you should look into crypto. And I did, and spent a few years in crypto at Flipside Crypto, a data analytics company in DAOs, and found my way to Gitcoin about a year ago, leading our GrantStack product, and more recently, leading the Grants Lab business unit.
And then maybe, Kevin, if you can go through the history of Gitcoin, the different phases it's gone through, and then, Meg, maybe you can dive into specifically Gitcoin 2.0.
Yeah, sure. Happy to. So Gitcoin 1.0, I define as the launch of Gitcoin Grants in 2019. As I mentioned, it was a quadratic funding application and was a deeply evolutionary platform for us to do round one in Q1 of 2019, and then to take everything that we learned and do a bigger round two in Q2 of 2019. And we kind of entered this quarterly cycle with the Ethereum community where we would do a quadratic funding round with them, and test out quadratic funding in practice. At the time, we were one of the first quadratic funding applications out there. We would work with Vitalik and Glenn and Zoe and say, hey, this is what we saw last round. They would give us feedback. We would build it into the product. We would raise more money and we would just iterate. So iterating towards the local maxima of how do we fund open source? And then eventually the aperture changed to how do we fund all of Ethereum's public goods? Public goods being the things that we rely on, but we don't typically pay for, things like consensus layer clients or execution layer clients or things like Wallet Connect or even things that eventually became unicorns in the ecosystem, but started off getting their first capital from Gitcoin grants, things like Uniswap and Urine and One Inch Exchange and Wallet Connect all started raising money on Gitcoin before they were the giant successes they are today. And so it's been a lot of fun to build this capital allocation machine for the Ethereum ecosystem. And I think in a lot of ways, funding Ethereum public goods was a competitive advantage for the Ethereum ecosystem during the bear market. I've met lots of great builders during the 2020 and 2021 I guess it was like 2019 bear markets that said, hey, I got money from Gitcoin and it's what kept me afloat in the bear market. It just feels great to hear that. But it turns out we built it completely wrong the first time around. We built it centralized in monolithic. Mm-hmm. And anyone who's been following the ecosystem over the last couple of years knows that there's been a debate between modular architectures and monolithic architectures. We started out as centralized and monolithic. And through our conversations with Vitalik and others, we realized that you can't have a public goods funding ecosystem that is built on top of a centralized company or a centralized product. What you really need is to be credibly neutral, decentralized protocols. And we also felt like quadratic funding was a application that we could use to fund public goods, but it's not going to be the only way to fund public goods. And so if we built it modular, then what we could do is we could build a bunch of different applications that have complementary approaches to funding public goods. And so that's when we kind of pulled the ripcord and went from a centralized company to being a suite of decentralized modular protocols. And that's what the beginning of Gitcoin 2.0 was, the launch of Gitcoin DAO and the start of a decentralized modular architecture for our software suite. So quite a big reset in 2021 and 2022 as we rewrote the products from top to bottom, and the governance of Gitcoin became a DAO as opposed to a centralized company. But I think that that's fundamentally a better positioned way to help ecosystems allocate their capital to help them fund their public goods over time. And so Gitcoin 2.0, I count as the launch of Gitcoin Grant Stack and the launch of Allo Protocol, which is our capital allocation protocol. And I think maybe this is a good time to hand it over to Meg and hear what she has to say about Gitcoin 2.0.
Yeah, thank you. One of the great things about Gitcoin 2.0 is we didn't just build it for Gitcoin so that we could run our own grants programs effectively. We're obviously very well known for the grants program that Awaki mentioned and the awesome impacts that it's had on builders through multiple ups and downs of the market. But what we built was something that could not only benefit Gitcoin, but any EVM-based ecosystem. And so the Allo protocol and Gitcoin Grant Stack allow anybody to launch a grants program like the Gitcoin Grants program using our tools in order to grow their ecosystems. And one of the things that I'm so excited about is not just that anybody can launch a grants program, but the way that we've really oriented towards grants as a growth lever for Gitcoin, for the Ethereum community, and for every partner that runs grants in partnership with us. We've recently run some data to really show the power of grants as a growth lever in these communities, and we're so excited to bring it to other communities and other ecosystems.
What are some of the findings that you saw?
Yeah, so we recently analyzed data through the first, 15 rounds of the Gitcoin Grants program to show that for every $1 million that was distributed to projects through this grants program, there are 13 developers who are still active in the Ethereum ecosystem today, which is a really high ROI when you think about what those developers are building and the way that it allows them to increase their seniority and expertise over the many years that they've been participating in Gitcoin grants.
Nice. And before we go deeper into Gitcoin 2.0, I'd love to spend a bit more time in the transition from Gitcoin as a centralized entity into a DAO, and what that was like, what it actually means, in practical terms. How does that look like?
Yeah. I kind of think of this as the decentralization layer cake. So basically, rewriting our governance to be from corporate governance, a set of corporate bylaws from which I'm the CEO and the centralized intermediary, to decentralized governance. Gitcoin DAO is actually run by a fork of Governor Bravo. So the same governance setup that Compound and Uniswap and others, ENS have. The next level up on the layer cake is the computational layer of Gitcoin. So basically, how are the products run? From being run on centralized servers to being run by decentralized applications, things like Ethereum, things like the Graph, and smart contracts built on top of those. And then, the application layer, the actual hosting of the front end is now decentralized also. And this has all been sort of in pursuit of having a credibly neutral base layer through which any EVM-based community can fund its public goods. But also, we really wanted the power of modularity. Back when Gitcoin was a centralized monolith, we could only do one flavor of quadratic funding. But we've since realized that there's many different flavors of quadratic funding that our community is going to want. And now retroactive public goods funding is very clearly a key thing for the community. So before I like to think of Gitcoin 1.0 as kind of like a screwdriver. It was a tool that did one thing, but Gitcoin 2.0 is a Swiss Army knife that has different capital allocation tools that can meet your community's needs. And all of them are credibly neutral protocols that you can deploy for, if you're in any EVM based community can deploy them. So if you're using a WASM architecture, then you can't use Gitcoin's tools, but anyone who's on the EVM can use Gitcoin's tools to allocate capital to their communities. And that was what was important to us in a world where the modular blockchains are starting to prop up. Everyone is based off of the EVM, and they each have multi-million dollar treasuries that need to fund what's important in their ecosystems. And now Gitcoin's well positioned to do that.
Can you explain some of the terms that maybe my listeners aren't going to be so familiar with, like quadratic funding, retroactive funding? In simple terms, what does it mean?
So quadratic funding is basically a way of running a crowdfunding campaign that's as democratic as possible. So basically, the key idea with quadratic funding is that you set out a matching pool and you allow people to sign up for a crowdfunding campaign. And when they contribute to that crowdfunding campaign, then their contributions are matched by funds from the matching pool. And the cool thing about quadratic funding, and this is all credit to Glenn and Vitalik for inventing this, is that the matching is based off of the number of contributors, not the amount that they fund. So, Cami, if you have a grant that raises $100 from 100 contributors, and I have a grant that raises $1 from $100 from one contributor, then you get 99% of the matching pool. Okay, so we're allocating capital to things that the broadest swath of the Ethereum community care about. And that's really powerful because if you're not a whale, if you're just an everyday person, then it's easy to feel like your vote doesn't really matter. But with quadratic funding, it does. You can give a dollar and the project can get hundreds of dollars depending on how many other people are contributing to it. So quadratic funding is this really amazing way of taking people who are in the outer orbit of your community and giving them a say in how things are funded. So that's quadratic funding. It's one of the things that's on Gitcoin's menu during Gitcoin 2.0, but it's not the only thing that's on the menu. Another thing that the Ethereum ecosystem has really rallied around over the last 12 months is this thing called retroactive public goods funding. And retroactive public goods funding, the basic idea here is that it's easier to understand if something is a good public good in retrospect as opposed to in the future. And this has been pioneered by Optimism. They've been running retro PGF rounds for the last year and a half, giving out tens of millions of dollars to their community based off of who's building their ecosystems, public goods, consuming block space, creating sequencers, creating liquidity on the Optimism L2. And basically the way that works is that they have a role in their ecosystem called the badge holder. It's basically just someone who is in the Optimism ecosystem that is able to allocate that capital to people in the ecosystem that have provided public goods in the past. So it's a retroactive public goods funding round. And so Gitcoin now supports both quadratic funding and retroactive public goods funding. And that's sort of our menu of what we can offer to any EVM-based community that wants to fund their ecosystem's public goods. And then I guess like the third thing that I'll just mention real quick is that we also have a product called Direct Grants. Say you don't want to do any of this complicated quadratic funding or retroactive public goods funding. You can use Gitcoin Grant Stack to just do regular grants where you have a centralized grant administrator who is giving out a pool of capital from your ecosystem's treasury to projects in the ecosystem that are building your ecosystem. So you can kind of think of Gitcoin 2.0 as a menu: direct grants or quadratic funding or retroactive public goods funding. Each of those things is good at doing one thing and doing it well. Direct grants is good because it's simple. Quadratic funding is really good at democratic capital allocation. And then retroactive public goods funding is really good at retroactively allocating capital. So that's sort of where we've landed with Gitcoin 2.0. And hopefully that's in layman's terms as much as possible. But yeah,
definitely. And Meg, is the idea that from these three options, maybe there will be, you know, communities building other options of funding, or is this kind of like, you know, you want to simplify things and just offer these three for people to use? Like, what's the strategy?
Exactly. So the beauty of our strategy is that we have options and multiple flavors. And so the three options that Owaki just went through are really cool and also not the only three ways that you can allocate grant capital or even decide on grant funding. And so for those who would like to build net new types of capital allocation or experiment with different forms of grant funding, Allo Protocol is kind of a deep core of an audited and secure core where anybody can build their own strategies or new funding mechanisms on top of it. And so we actually just saw a partner called the GeoWeb and Superfluid build a streaming quadratic funding on Allo Protocol. Yeah, which is just a novel and cool way to experiment and push the boundaries of quadratic funding. And then say that you are a grant program and you're distributing millions of dollars a year, and you'd really like a straightforward and kind of battle-tested way to do that. In GrantStack, which is our software application, we'll have kind of a vetted and tested suite of funding mechanisms. The three that we have right now, as Owaki mentioned, are direct grants, quadratic funding, and retroactive funding that you can use in a way that the app already exists. So all of the testing's been done. We can tell you how to use them well, and they're ready for you to use.
So is the idea that users of the protocol will be from, you know, projects with like Web3 communities with treasuries, and they are, you know, looking to use these tools to distribute those funds, and also just larger, maybe separate, like non-Ethereum EVM chains who want to launch their own just broader Gitcoin-like program. Are those kind of the main use cases you're seeing, or are there other ones too?
Yeah, that's almost exactly the use case that we're seeing right now. We're really focused on serving communities with tokenized treasuries that are EVM-based, as well as the EVM-based developer community and people who just want to hack and experiment with Allo Protocol. Mm-hmm. That said, we're super focused on this segment and on grants for the next, you know, we'll call it year plus. But we can see a future where there's so much more applicability besides just tokenized communities, or even where kind of the breadth of tokenized communities themselves grow as more and more assets come on chain and as more and more tokenized organizations exist outside of what we think of today as like L2s and DeFi protocols.
Ready to dive into the world of on-chain derivatives? Cint Futures is your decentralized portal to trading futures and perps with up to 100x leverage. Now live on Blast Mainnet, Cint Futures V3 combines limit orders and concentrated liquidity into a single unified liquidity model dubbed Oyster AMM, offering unparalleled capital efficiency. Earn triple airdrop rewards through an incentive program designed around Blast and Cint Future points. And join the new Trading Grand Prix competition to win a piece of the $500,000 prize pool. Visit synfutures.com, that's synfutures.com, to start your decentralized trading journey today.
So, Kevin, maybe you can dive deeper into that. Like, how do you think this can scale into assets outside of tokens? Like, will that involve maybe on-ramping other types of assets? Or are you thinking maybe, I don't know, in the future, companies, like regular, you know, companies that now have stock will have tokenized stock, and maybe that'll be a way to use a Gitcoin? Or is that like just like way into the future?
Yeah. Well, you know, Gitcoin, I think, last cycle was known as helping the Ethereum community fund what matters to it. And this cycle, we're really focused on any EVM-based community, helping them fund what matters to their ecosystem. And so in a world in which there are L2 applications, LSTs, LRTs, DeFi projects, NFT projects, meme coins that have communities that want to empower their communities to push the project forward, we think that there's 10 or 100x growth in front of us just by helping EVM-based communities fund what matters to them this cycle. Now, as we solve for wallet UX, as we have account abstraction rolled out, as on-ramping gets solved, there's an opportunity next cycle to take these capital allocation tools and bring them to local city states that want to fund their downtowns and want to build economic development programs. There's opportunities to bring it to philanthropic and NGO-based communities and have them fund what matters to them. And then I think there's opportunities to bring it to companies. And as more and more assets get tokenized and as the EVM starts to eat the world, I think there's going to be lots of opportunities for us to ride that momentum and to help communities across the world allocate capital to what matters to them. And so we're standing on the shoulders of giants. The EVM and the Ethereum stack is incredibly powerful. As that goes mainstream, as more and more assets get tokenized, I think there's another 10 to 100x growth for Gitcoin to help communities allocate capital from there. But Stein, trying to stay present with what is right now, this market cycle, just any EVM-based community with a tokenized treasury that wants to allocate capital can use Gitcoin, Grant Stack, and Allo Protocol in order to do that. That's what we're focused on this cycle. But we definitely see a really bright future as more and more assets get tokenized in upcoming cycles to bring this more mainstream.
Makes sense. And then obviously you've mentioned this is very EVM focused. Is there anywhere in your roadmap that would include going to other non-EVM communities and chains?
You know, it's so funny to... I've met founders of Gitcoin clones for alt layer ones. And it's really like that episode of Seinfeld where Jerry meets Bizarro Jerry to meet like a Gitcoin clone founder. I think there's an opportunity for us to... We see 10 to 100x growth in just doing EVM right now. I think there's an opportunity to partner with people in other ecosystems and help them do capital allocation. And, you know, I think that we're leading and we're very humbled by people cloning Gitcoin and doing it in other ecosystems. It's not a priority for us in the future, but, you know, I think that there's a possibility in the future that we build a WASM version of Allo Protocol and or support people who are doing it, but no plans to do so at this moment.
Got it. Now that we're entering into a bull market, maybe, but yeah, I think pretty much confirmed, really. Is it, is it less attractive for people to seek funding on grants? You've seen, I mean, in your history of like doing these rounds, are people like using grants programs more in the bear market than in the bull market? Like in the bull market, there are like, it seems like opportunities to just like flip meme coins and airdrops and like, you know, all these potential ways to make money. Of course, that's very different from, you know, somebody working in open source and getting directly paid for their work, but still kind of, there's more competition to make money, like for ways to make money, I guess. Do you see that impacting Gitcoin at all? Just, you know, less demand to use grant programs in a bull market?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And you're definitely not wrong that everything is more competitive in a bull market. I got a quote for something that I got, that I also got a quote for a couple of months ago that's recently tripled because of market conditions. Mm-hmm. And so it's crazy how things change as prices change. But one of the reasons that I am so excited about grants program and have so much belief in the power of their potential is really how I saw them behave in the bear market. And the way that ecosystems really doubled down on their grants programs and improving the efficacy of them, in things like impact tracking, in measurement, and a little bit in grantee experience as well. And so I very much think that grant programs are something that are a key part of your ecosystem growth strategy, regardless of where the market's at. As the market shifts, we'll obviously move some levers up and down. And I very much hope that grants programs double down on their spending during this market and take advantage of the market conditions to do so. But people are looking for more opportunities to build, more opportunities to work directly with ecosystems and core teams that they believe in. And grants programs are still the perfect way to do that.
Okay. Is there anything that changes in a bull market in, I don't know, the types of grants that are used most, or maybe the kind of users that's coming to Gitcoin? Or I don't know, do things stay pretty much stable?
Yeah, we're always adjusting our grant program, regardless of the bear market or the bull market, and trying to make it more effective towards the goals of the Ethereum ecosystem overall. We do generally see more participation both from builders and from donors when we run the Gitcoin grants programs and the market's up versus when the market's down. Mm-hmm. And so we have our Gitcoin grants round 20 opening up at the beginning of April and really hope that we will see amazing participation rates in that.
Awesome. Yeah, I'd imagine with just the community as a whole being more flush, you know, it hurts less to give money away in a grants program. And in each cycle, you see this new wave of users and builders come into the market. So potentially the users for Gitcoin also increase as well. Kevin, as you were mentioning before, the use cases that can be further out but are super interesting to me. I mean, kind of cities and countries even using your protocol for funding. I'd love to get both of your thoughts on why crypto. Like, why would non-crypto native organizations and entities want to use something like the Allo protocol for capital allocation? Like, why is crypto better than traditional funding mechanisms?
Great question. So, I mean, I think the high level, our hypothesis about on-chain capital allocation is that we're going to be able to build more scalable and precise capital allocation campaigns that are not mirrored with the kind of gatekeeping and centralized intermediaries that traditional capital allocation has done. And I've already seen this happen. In 2020, my hometown of Boulder, Colorado, was suffering from the pandemic, as many communities across the world were. And I worked with my my colleagues, Katie Johnson and Zach Herring from Consensus, to run a quadratic funding campaign for downtown Boulder. And we were able to run the same mechanism behind Gitcoin grants, the quadratic funding, where you give a dollar and the project gets $100 because it's supported by a broad swath of the community. That works in mainstream downtown America. We did a 50K round where we funded a comic book shop, a yoga studio, a bookstore. I'm forgetting what the other two things were. And I think that what we were able to prove was that when you empower the people at the edges of a population, not only are you able to fund what matters to the everyday people in a downtown community, but you know, you can run a capital allocation campaign that's more scalable and precise than what the Boulder City of Chamber of Commerce could have done. And so I think that that's an early prototype that we did, and we just used Stripe and we used US dollars. There was no crypto or anything there, but that's an example of something that was pioneered in crypto and brought back to the mainstream. And I think that's a proof point for us that these types of things are going to be viable in, you know, in the 21st century, when we want to revitalize our democracy and make our democracy more digital, there's going to be ways that we're going to fund what matters in these communities that weren't possible before. So, Downtown Stimulus was the name of that campaign. And I'm super proud that we've proven that quadratic funding is going to go mainstream. But Meg, I'm curious if you have anything to add there.
Yeah, the one thing that I'll add for grants programs specifically, and why we're so excited to see Web2 grant programs come on chain and for Web3 grant programs to really prove how effective they are, is when you're running an on-chain grants program, what you get out of the box is a ton of transparency and the power to enforce community reporting and accountability in a way that you don't get with traditional grants programs. And that's often the downfall of many traditional grants programs, is misspent funds or misallocated funds or even lack of trust or bad actors in the process. And so I think that the on-chain basic premise of transparency is so important to these programs. And will be such a game changer in their success.
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of grants and donations, you know, nonprofits, they've been often plagued with this kind of opaque system where, you know, as a donor, you're not sure where your money is going. So I think maybe that limits the attractiveness of giving, because, you know, you're not sure if your money's being well spent. So that's what blockchains were created to do, to have more transparency in financial systems and more accountability. So yeah, I think that's kind of a key selling point for a blockchain-based grants programs. And I think kind of the ability to just have a more global base as well, because when you're dealing with a smaller program, the Boulder program, yeah, like Stripe works there. But if you're trying to rally a more global community, then yeah, like crypto is the way to go. So yeah, I'm excited to see how this can scale, you know, beyond Web3 to other use cases and just like make giving better because it's definitely needed. So I'd love to get a little bit technical in the Allo protocol. Like how is this an Ethereum based protocol? How is it built? Like what are the key pieces of it?
Yeah, it is an Ethereum-based protocol. It's written in Solidity. And there's a couple of different core components of the Allo protocol. The first is the registry of projects that could be funded. And we've got our own sort of registry that we use for Gitcoin grants. And we've also built some tools to import other registries that are out there. So the Optimism registry, the Giveth registry, stuff like that. And So that's one component, the registry. The second component is the tokens that are going to be fed into Allo. So any ERC-20 mm-hmm. token can be used to go into Allo in a world in which DAOs have their own governance token or their own utility token that they fund things with. We thought it was important to support any ERC-20 token.
And that's a key difference from Gitcoin 1.0, right? Like, because before it was just funding with, I think, stablecoins. Like, you couldn't use project tokens.
Yeah, so before it was just ETH and DAI that you could use most part. Yeah. So yeah, we've got the registry, we've got the tokens in, and then we've got this new component called the strategy. And strategy is basically how the capital will be allocated in the community. And one of the really powerful things here is that you can sub out quadratic funding for Macy, which is a quadratic funding formula that's completely private. You can sub out the quadratic funding strategy for retroactive public goods funding. You can sub out the QF strategy for a direct grants strategy, or any type of capital allocation that we've not yet dreamed of. And so it's in the permutations of the different registries, tokens, and strategies that we're going to explore this design space of capital allocation for the world. And so I think it's a really powerful thing to basically maintain a open source repository that contains all the different permutations of registries, tokens, and strategies, because any hacker that walks into a hackathon in the year 2024 can go and take the power of Gitcoin grants and put it into their own application, or the power of retroactive public goods funding and put it into their own application. So this is, kind of a core part of our strategy. Our strategy at Gitcoin is to be a place where other people build capital allocation into their apps and then merge that back upstream into Allo. And so we're going to explore this design space of how DAOs do capital allocation. And it's not going to just be charitable giving away money type things. You can imagine that people are going to build new types of angel investing on top of this architecture, or new types of grants programs, or new ways of doing crowdfunding for what matters in their community. So we see this rich design space in the periphery of strategies and registries that could be built on top of Allo. And we just think of in early Windows, you kind of came loaded. It came loaded with like Solitaire or Minesweeper. Early Gitcoin grants kind of just comes loaded with quadratic funding, but anyone can build anything on top of it. And it's that rich design space that I'm so excited to explore. And it's because of that modular architecture that we're going to be able to do it within the Gitcoin ecosystem. But yeah, TLDR, tokens, registries, and strategies, being able to sub out those components is what's going to allow us to explore the design space.
Nice. And how does the Gitcoin token play a role?
Right now, Gitcoin GTC remains a governance token that people are using to manage the Gitcoin DAO. I think that it's possible in the future that there will be new use cases for the GTC token that are built in. But right now, there's no fee switch. There's no use case built into Allo for the GTC token. I think that that's something that, well, I can't speak on behalf of the DAO because it's up to DAO governance, but I think that that's something that in the future is something that the DAO could explore.
Speaking of fee switch, where does revenue for the protocol come from?
Yeah, so right now we don't have a fee switch, or we have a fee switch, but it's set at 0%. Mm-hmm. In the future, we want to explore positive sum ways to remain sustainable through the protocol and the use of the apps, while also making sure that our partners are not financially disadvantaged by using the protocol or building mm-hmm. on top of the protocol. And so currently we're still taking payment in feedback and vibes. And encourage people to get in while the feedback and vibes are good. And we'll explore down the road how we might turn the fee switch on or build in different use cases for the token.
Ah, so there's no protocol revenue at the moment.
Currently, there's not, no.
And then I guess just funding for Gitcoin comes from the GTC treasury?
Yeah, we have two sources of funding. One of them is specific for the Gitcoin Grants Program. And this is a multi-sig that is controlled by members of the wider Gitcoin community and holds all of the funds that are used for the Gitcoin Grants Program, which benefits the Ethereum ecosystem as a whole. And then the second source of funding is the Gitcoin Treasury and the tokenized assets that live within it.
Yeah, I'll just say that we've been lucky to raise money for Gitcoin on Gitcoin through the years. We also were the beneficiaries of a large donation of dog tokens by Vitalik back in the last cycle.
Yeah.
So we're in a very, like, I think one of the coolest things about this community is that we've supported the community with Gitcoin grants and they've supported us back. And so it's a somewhat unique position that allows us to keep operating, but without we haven't figured out the long-term financial sustainability model just yet, I think.
Okay. Super interesting. And I think you have a very unique position in kind of having been funded by your own funding mechanism and grants and donations. In terms of usability and UX, what are some of the lessons that you've taken throughout the years? I think, you know, as an app that's really got into the end user and many kind of non-technical users, I think there's probably really some good lessons that you've had over time. And what do you think is still missing to get your product to really, you know, meet your goals or your vision?
Yeah. Oh, I only have a year's worth of history in working on this at Gitcoin, but I still feel like I could fill a textbook with it. Because not only do you learn a ton when you're building early stage software, but building early stage software using early stage tech and infrastructure, just kind of squares your challenge. I'll say one of the things that we've struggled with on the app side is marrying these two competing forces. One of them is the kind of experiences that we've all become conditioned to in using like Web2 apps. All of the complexity is totally obfuscated and removed for the user. We have no idea how anything works in the back end. And that's resulted in some funny things happening with privacy and data, but really smooth user experiences. The other competing force is the force that drove us to create the protocol and design it in the way that Owaki described, which is this ultimate kind of modularity and customizability, as well as like the transparency that's baked into it. And trying to figure out the right balance to strike between kind of modularity and composability and a really smooth and cohesive user experience has been a challenge. One of the earliest challenges that I had at Gitcoin was when we launched the beta version of the app, where every round had a different checkout process, so that every round had different tokens that it supported or could be configured differently by the end user. It opened up the possibility for, say, if you wanted to have privacy protecting technology on some rounds, but not the others, you could do that in this modular system. But what our users said during the Gitcoin grants round is like, oh my God, this is so challenging. Why are you making me check out five different times? I can't stand it. And so we brought that back and now everything shares a cart. I think more recently too, we feel like we're kind of pushing up against the boundaries of L2 user experience right now. So we're deployed across, I've lost count, but like closing in on 10 different chains, most of them L2s. And there are situations where rounds are running across like many, up to 10 L2s at one time. And so the bridging and swapping experience to get assets on the right chains, to get the right assets on the right chains too, is really challenging. And there's not... We're excited to solve this in the future and to work with some great partners there, but it's not an out-of-the-box solution that like everybody's already been figured out and we can just plug in.
The other thing I'll add here is that I'm super proud that Gitcoin was one of the first dApps to use an L2. I got a tweet that I sent in June of 2020 where I said like Ethereum scales for using an L2 for Gitcoin grants today. And that was just, it was so exciting to me to say that because The whole point of Gitcoin grants is sending a bunch of small donations that add up to these projects. And when gas fees on the mainnet are $20 and you're only sending a dollar to your favorite project, using an L2 is super important. So we've got a long history of being on the vanguard of Web3 user experience. And I think that started in early Gitcoin grants in 2019 and 2020 and being one of the first non-financial apps, the apps on the ecosystem. And, knock on wood, I hope that we're going to be pushing the barriers of L2 user experience in the future. And I'm really excited for a world in which you'll have a bunch of grants in your cart and you can check out and only in a couple clicks trigger transactions across a bunch of L2s, and we can do the bridging in the background. So no promises on that, but those are the kind of things that we're thinking about and trying to push the barriers of Web3 user experience.
Oh yeah, it's what a challenge. I mean, you're trying to figure out a user experience that simply doesn't exist yet. Kind of the perfect experience that you're looking for hasn't been built. So you're either kind of waiting for it to be built or building it yourselves. And because you are kind of aggregating all these different grants and projects and tokens, yeah, it does feel like a major headache to be able to just make all of that easy for the end user and abstract it away and hopefully, yeah, get to a point where it's just like one checkout cart, like a couple of clicks and you're done. Because yeah, it is confusing to have to bridge to different chains and what tokens and so on, even, you know, for people kind of, you know, in the space and using this thing all the time. So yeah, lots of challenges. If there was like one thing, or I don't know, like what are the tools that you're most excited to see built to improve this user experience?
The L2 user experience is definitely top of mind for me. And figuring out ways where people don't even have to care about what chain the round is running on or what asset they're accepting donations in. And on the grantee end, the same way, that they can receive donations in whatever format is acceptable for them.
Do you think that will come from like a wallet? Is something that would have to do that?
You know, there are a couple of wallets who are doing interesting things in the space. There's also a bunch of standalone providers who are working on specific solutions for this, or working on or bridges that are working on services for this. Mm. So that would be on the like bridging tech that uses this, that provides this as a service, but we'll say. But I'd also love to see moves forward in wallet tech too, that could make these donations maybe even recurring or embedded in the wallet experience.
I'll just say that, you know, we're recording this a couple of days after Den Kun, and you know, I just want to call out that we're standing on the shoulders of giants, all the protocol developers in the ecosystem that just gave us EIP 4844, and now L2s, the gas fees have gone down a lot by that. You know, we'll see if they stay that way. But I think 4844 is just the beginning of the core protocols getting better. And it's going to be meeting in the middle of the protocols getting better, wallets getting better, and dApps getting better at user experience, that I think Web3 UX will become 10 or 100 times more usable. So that's the great thing about this ecosystem, is that it's kind of a multiplayer game in which we're all making it better together, and the user experience innovation can come from all those different edges at once. So shout out to everyone who worked on 4844. Thanks for your hard work in making everything in the Ethereum ecosystem, including Gitcoin, more usable.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, in this industry, what one team builds can be used by everyone else. And so just like the pace of innovation and growth, is, you know, exponentially faster than in Web2. Do you see maybe an integration with like fiat on ramps, like people being able to pay directly with a credit card?
Yeah, we'd love to see that. That's been a big ask over the last year or so. And we've started looking into ways that we could make that happen. I do think that solving our, what we're calling our bridging and swapping challenges are the first part of making that a reality, so that we can also have a smooth fiat experience. We do remain very focused on Web3 grant programs and on adding fiat as a tool for them. But again, would love to see that happen.
Okay, and then to start closing, I'd love to talk about just your big vision for Gitcoin and the impact that you'd like to have on Web3 crypto, or just, you know, more broadly. Like when you talk about how you want all of these communities to use your protocol and think of innovative ways to allocate capital, what would you like to see get funded? Like what's the end goal? Like what's the final impact that you want to make with Gitcoin?
What I get so excited about with Gitcoin is enabling the success of Web3 ecosystems. And really, by making grant programs effective, by making them efficient growth levers in everyone's ecosystems, to really power the growth of those ecosystems and the growth of Web3. I think that when we look back in 10 years of like, what was it in the, you know, 2020s that made Web3 so successful? We'll be like, oh, like grant programs played a huge role. Gitcoin played a huge role in that. And that's how Web3 took over the world.
Yeah. I mean, I think we see grants equals growth. And so for this cycle, we're just any LST, any LRT, any DeFi project that wants to grow their ecosystem can use Gitcoin to do that. And, you know, I'm really excited about making more money available for people who are entering the ecosystem and contributing to these ecosystems. That permissionless innovation is just so incredible. And so I think that this cycle, we're just really focused on enabling grants equals growth. And you know, I hope that we reach an escape velocity where in 5 to 10 years, as EVM eats the world, as tokenization eats the world, then we start to see cities and states and NGOs and companies start to use Gitcoin's tools to allocate capital to their community. And we're talking about changing the way that people earn. I would love a couple cycles out for the majority of people who enter the crypto space to be earning capital that they can use to put food on the table and to pay rent for their families, as opposed to buying a meme coin or an NFT or something like that. I mean, those are valid ways to onboard into the ecosystem as well. But earning and the future of jobs, I think, is what's at stake here at scale. And so, you know, how do we allocate capital to people who are contributing at the edges and don't have the access that the people who are early did is what I think this looks like at scale. So capital allocation is a broad and vast space, and we're starting where we think that there's the most momentum. But once we get that momentum going, I think you're going to see a rich periphery of apps built on top of Allo protocol that are going to enable lots of different communities to fund what matters to them. And yeah, the TAM for this is all of humanity. There's lots of people that need to fund their communities and their ecosystems, and we just want to enable them to do that in a more precise, scalable way, and remove the intermediaries along the way.
Amazing. Yeah. In the end, money does make the world go round. Like, you do need effective capital allocation mechanisms, and I think, you know, having ones that really lower the barrier of entry to people really does accelerate innovation, and is what crypto is all about, right? Just, you know, having a truly permissionless system. And it's not permissionless if you need access to VCs and the right connections. So hopefully, you know, if Gitcoin can empower everyone to start earning and working in crypto and being a part of it, I think that'd be an amazing outcome. I mean, that's kind of what I'm passionate about in this space. So, amazing to get kind of your big view on Gitcoin and all the latest, and yeah, talk about Gitcoin 2.0. We'll definitely be covering it on The Defiant. And thanks so much again for joining me.
Thanks so much for having us.